Jesus' name.
This evening, I'm going to be dealing with a subject that may take me some time, not tonight. I realize we're under time constraint. But Sharon has been suggesting that I really get into the areas of eschatology and some of the current events that are going on. I must confess, when we deal with the word eschatology, we're dealing with the end time, the study of the end. Actually, the end times really started on the day of Pentecost. But actually, Jesus says, you tell Herod, tell him today and tomorrow, I'm going to do my work, and then everything and all things will be completed or perfected. And a day to the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. Since we know that, we must keep in mind that it has been approximately 2,000 years since that day on Pentecost. So tonight, I am going to give you a trip through eschatology. I have avoided teaching too much on this for a reason. Because Sharon and myself, when we were young Christians, we were constantly going over eschatology all the time. And I missed out on a lot of things other than just waiting for Jesus to come. And so I kind of steered away from eschatology, even though it's a great discipline. But what I'm going to be teaching on tonight, I hope doesn't offend anybody. I see Sawyer's got it in my glasses again, Sharon. Excuse me, I can't see without my glasses. I'd like you to go to the last chapter of the book of Revelation. Any student of hermeneutics, Jewish or Christian, will tell you the way we interpret the Old Testament is through the eyes of the New Testament. And the way we best understand the New Testament is through the eyes of the newest revelation. And that newest revelation is the book of Revelation. The word revelation means unveiling. People say, I have a revelation. Actually, what they're saying is, or they need to know what they're saying, is that God has pulled back the curtains and I can see. If you want to know what a prophet does, not all seers are prophets, but all prophets are seers. And they understand when the curtain goes away that they're no longer operating in their own mind, they're operating in the mind of God. So it's appropriate that we look at the last chapter of the book of Revelation. Let's start from there, and I'm going to talk about the end times with my wife's permission. And he says in verse 20, he who testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. The word is Maranatha. Say that with me. Maranatha. The Lord cometh. And they've been crying this out for 2,000 years. Only 2 days in God's time. But to us, 1,000 years is a long time. Especially 2,000 years. And you have approximately 1,500 years from the time of the law to the time of Messiah, Jesus himself. So tonight we are going to talk about looking at the word of the Lord, not through the eyes of the church necessarily, but through the eyes of the unveiling of the book of Revelation. So if you would be so kind, I'm going to have you go, if you would, to Acts chapter 1. Something that isn't often taught about, but we're going to teach it tonight. Because they consider this as part of the Acts of the Apostles. Well, I say it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And in chapter 1 of Acts, starting at verse 4, we begin. And the disciples are there, and Jesus, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Has God ever said to you, stay put? Stay put. And then I find after God speaks to them through the prophets and God speaks to them individually, there are saints that say, well, I feel led, I need to go here. When God has said, stay put. And Jesus says, you stay right there in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, which, says he, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. That word witness, we get a word not only going to someone and telling them about Jesus, but we get another word called martyrius, which can talk about being martyred, bloody martyr. Or it can also be a stand-up witness. I would ask you to check it out. But I want you to notice that there were four places that they were to be witnesses. In their own home, Jerusalem. In Judea. Samaria. And the uttermost parts of the earth. This is what Jesus is telling them. So we begin in the local church, our Jerusalem. And we move outside. And so I'm delighted that Justin is out tonight, not that he's out, but I'm delighted that he's going to take part in this Trace Diaz teaching, being one of the instructors. I think it'll be a real blessing. I think Beth has expressed to me, along with a couple others, that they would like to be a minister at Trace Diaz, and I've seen marvelous things happen. So Jesus is speaking to them, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood there by them in white apparel, who also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven shall be come to you in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. That is very interesting. As the church, we are concentrated on the death, burial, and the resurrection of the gospel of the kingdom. But for this teaching that I am doing, I want you to look at the Word of God through the eyes of the ascension. Because as Jesus left the earth, he gave a commandment to the church, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. I want you, disciples, Jesus said, to go into your Jerusalem, to go into your Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And when this is done, I will come the same way you see me go up. Can you imagine the awe? We found out there was close to 500 witnesses to this ascension. 500! Some say it was mass hysteria. Well, it's pretty hard to hypnotize 500 people at the same time as if you have kids and babies. But there are many people that witnessed the ascension of the Lord Jesus from the earth. Now, this is the part I'm going to have to have you call on your memory of the Word of God. Remember, from the time of Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, the time that the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples, that Jesus began to show great power. But what we have to keep in mind is from the time of the resurrection to the time or the Feast of Weeks or the time of the Holy Spirit coming on them was approximately 10 days. Because Jesus walked this earth for 40 days after the resurrection. And then he said, you go to Jerusalem and you wait there. And he had him wait 10 days. And they came together and they witnessed an astounding event. The ascension of the Lord Jesus and his witnesses telling them, in the same way that you've seen him go up, he is coming again and he is coming down in the same place. If you study Zechariah 14:4, it says that this hill, or Judean hill, will split. And we know that Messiah, the Lord Jesus himself, will come down and he will cross the Kidron Valley and go through the eastern gate of Jerusalem. Pastor, myself, and I hope eventually Dr. Aaron and maybe Alyssa will go to Israel and they'll see the eastern gate. Has anybody else, other than in photographs, actually seen the eastern gate here? Okay. When you look at the hill that goes up to Jerusalem at the eastern gate, it is covered with tombstones. It is a graveyard from the Kidron Valley all the way up to the walls of Jerusalem, the eastern gate. That isn't by accident. You see, if Jesus is the high priest, he cannot contaminate himself with dead bodies. But what happens when Jesus comes?
The dead rise.
That's exactly right. Give that man an A. So what are we looking at? We're looking at Jerusalem, the focal point of eschatology. And we see in the last verse, a couple verses of Revelation, Maranatha, when Jesus comes. Would you say that all with me, Maranatha?
Maranatha.
In our salute to each other, we can say, hi, Pastor. But I think I'm going to start saying, Maranatha, Pastor.
Okay, Maranatha.
Maranatha, Mark.
Maranatha,
Jeffrey.
Maranatha.
Maranatha. Not get lost. Maranatha. Okay, Matthew 24. Let's begin. I'm going to show you a pattern that I think you'll find intriguing. Matthew 24, often taught, and I believe that we need to look at it through a little different eyes than through the eyes of the resurrection. I'd like us to look at it through the eyes of the ascension. In Matthew 24, Jesus is speaking in verse 3. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Ion Ionios. The end. When will the end come? And Jesus answered and said, take heed that no man deceive you. Now that's critical. Sharon and I, when we were first born again, we heard the preachers saying, well, Jesus is coming, the Feast of Trumpets in 1976, September 15, 1976. And then we had some, well, no, there was a mistake in the calendar that he's coming in 1981. But the ones that really make me laugh are the Jehovah's Witnesses. They predicted that Jesus has been coming in 1918, 1922, 1924. And they say they're prophets.
Seventh-day Adventists.
And Seventh-day Adventists are doing it too. Okay. Mm-hmm. We don't know exactly, but we can look at the seasons. We can look at the signs. And here are the, here we'll continue. And we will, almost. Jesus says, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I'm in Christ, and shall deceive many. There's been many Christs, or those that say they were anointed. I remember Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. I remember many of these so-called Reverend Farrakhan, Brother Jim Jones. Oh, brother, you could drink that Kool-Aid. But we've seen what individuals can do that are charismatic. The blind lead the blind. Where do they go to? Either to the Kool-Aid counter or they go into the ditch. And there has been many bankrupt Christians that have followed leaders in a wrong path. Now, I'd like you to look at verse 32 of the same chapter. And Jesus speaks about all the events that are coming. He says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branches is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. Remember, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth? Summer, winter, summer, autumn, winter, spring, summer. There's four seasons. And I don't mean Frankie Valley. There are four seasons. He says, summer is at hand. We've had prophetic word that we have entered summertime in the kingdom of God. We are seeing massive turnarounds in these Islamic countries of people coming to Jesus, especially in Iran, who has avowed hatred against Israel. So likewise, you shall see all these things. Know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I've been doing a lot of research. Isn't that a good idea that I do research? I want to talk to you about Israel. Some of this is a repeat, but that's okay, because I'm going to bring you into deeper water, but I must lay a foundation. Sure. I have your permission to do that. Okay. Israel should never exist. Do you realize all the evil that has come on the world, from Saladin during the Crusades, and more recently Adolf Hitler, who destroyed the Jews and massacred the Jews, that the Jews fled Europe, Eastern Europe, and other areas of Islamic countries, and they knew that their only refuge was Israel, their own state. How many of you can recognize a Jew when you see them? They don't have, there is a way about them I have found, but I'm not that discerning where I can tell everybody's Jew. But there are certain people I can tell are Jewish. Well, the minute they open their mouth or they get in an argument, you know, they come from that type of background. Hollywood, if you will, is made up of many Jewish people that have changed their names. I could go through the names of people. Diane Keaton had her name changed. She's Jewish. There's others too. Zuckerberg is easy and Spielberg is easy. But there are many Jews that have permeated the world. They're not necessarily because they're physical Jews, born from a Jewish parents. Doesn't mean that they're Jewish believers. There's more atheistic Jews than there are believers in Jehovah.
Wow.
But anyway, Adolf Hitler, the evil of trying to eliminate the Jews, forced the Jews to leave their places of work, and they were very successful. They got into banking, they got into real estate, manufacturing. They are extremely talented. Many, and I've heard statistics that even their IQs are above normal. They are very intuitive people. They are very gifted, very opinionated. They say that you can buy from Armenian and sell to a German. That's the Jew is the only one that can make a profit in that transaction. He said, good. But let's talk about this Israel. It should have never happened. But these people had to leave fortunes. Leave fortunes. There it still had a group of army soldiers, the monuments soldiers, that collected the art pieces that the Jews collected all through Western Eastern Europe. Phenomenal. The wealth that they accumulated. They had to leave it all because Adolf Hitler was out to destroy the natural Jews. And he, if you will, was a form of Antichrist. I think we all can agree on that. But think of how much the real Antichrist wants to destroy the spiritual Jews. The spiritual Jews. We fight them every day. So let's take a little history trip. As soon as I get Sawyer off my glasses. Okay. A phenomenal thing happened. And God's intervention started. Israel was declared, Declaration of Independence formally declared the establishment of the State of Israel May 14th, 1948. May 14th, 1948. Ben-Gurion, an executive head of the World Zionist Organization, chairman of the Jewish Agency for Palestine, and soon to be Prime Minister of Israel, is declared the establishment of the Jewish state, and it set all the Arab countries around Israel in a total
panic.
Tailspin.
And immediately when the State of Israel was declared, that little country was the first step. And this was May 14th, 1948. Israel became a nation. That was the first step. And the Arab countries, that's Jordan, Syria, Egypt, had an alliance with other Arab states to destroy the Jews the minute that state was declared. But with phenomenal grace from God, the Israel nation survived that attack. And matter of fact, defeated all those that would try to destroy that nation state from its blossoming. So Israel was a planting. Now I'm talking about the fig tree, aren't we? And the ascension. So God establishes Israel against all odds. Now, the thing that's interesting, the hatred for the Jews and the Jewish state was so intense that in May 15th, 1967, Egypt with Nasser and the rest of the crew attacked Israel from foreign. And Israel in 1967 not only destroyed them, but they were able to, if you will, take more territory. So that is another stepping stone. So we're starting to see this fig tree be established. We can parallel that with your own lives. You first were born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost. And look at how many things have happened in your life to dissuade you from the common faith. Every demon in hell sometimes comes after you and you say, wow, Lord, I need to survive. Just imagine the state of Israel. They survived the 67 war and came out as conquerors. And they took the Sinai. I was going to point to our map that I'm so...
It's not there anymore.
What happened? We spend money for that map. Okay. The Sinai Peninsula is also called the Negev. The Negev. And Israel was able to take that Sinai, the area of Sinai. And that was the next step, Kingstone, in 1967. Now, there was another war where they came again. Yom Kippur War of October 6th. 1973, I believe.
That's right.
In 1973, Israel was attacked on the holiest day in Jewish tradition. And they almost lost. But at the last moment, God gave them generals that were able to outfox the Jordanians, the Syrians, the Egyptians, and all those who came against Israel. And not only did they keep the Sinai, but they gained full occupancy of eastern Jerusalem. All of Jerusalem. So they got the Sinai, and they got Jerusalem. They got a nation. Can you see how this thing is growing? This generation shall not pass until, and we're in that place. Another great thing happened in our lifetime. On December 6th, 2017.
Yes.
December 6th, 2017. 2017. What happened?
Trump.
The Trumpster blew. And recognized the state of the city of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Samaria, I gotta go backwards. Let's see, Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. Somebody do it backwards for me. The uttermost parts of the earth. They came from?
Samaria,
the outer edges. They took
Judea,
the Sinai.
And Jerusalem.
Judea,
which was all of Jerusalem, and the capstone was Jerusalem.
Yeah.
You see how this fig tree is grown? And Jesus tells us in the Word of God that, behold the fig tree, summer is nigh. And again, I remind you, we talked about the Sinai. We've talked about what God has done with this nation state against all odds, the hatred that people have for the state of Jerusalem. I remember the president at the time saying he got so many phone calls he wouldn't answer the calls, begging him not to declare Jerusalem as the capital of the state of Israel. We celebrated as believers. We said, hallelujah. But the world didn't celebrate. Because they saw this nation state that was in a diaspora for close to 2,000 years become a nation, occupied land, began to take out the whole area of the city of Jerusalem, and then proclaimed it as the capital of Israel.
Yes. And also, it had to be done on a Jubilee year.
And it was done on a Jubilee. But thank you, Mark. You were exactly right. Now, there is such hatred for this nation state that I would like you to guess, where has this country come to? And I'm going to take a few minutes here. I've been staying in the scriptures, but I want to take you on a little journey. If you study some of the kings of Israel, you'll find that they had teachers that they would send out and to teach the children of Israel the Word of God. Moses and all their Seder dinners, especially Passover, they talk about the law and Moses and hearing from God, the Ten Commandments. These things are part of the fabric of the Jewish state. Now, I will tell you, being in Israel, and I'm sure Pastor will tell you this, the only time you don't want to go shopping, ladies, in Jerusalem is on the Sabbath day. That they shut that place down. You can go to Caesarea Philippi, or you can go to some other cities where they're very liberal. But when you go to Jerusalem, they lock it down. Nobody moves. Don't even carry your bed or your suitcase. Some guy with long pigtails and a beanie will come out and try to read you the right hand. act. So, why eschatology? Well, we have some problems. How did these things come to pass? Why is the nations of the world so set against Israel? Why is America, and why are our political leaders now hostile to the state of Israel? Now, listen, I am not pretending that the Israelis aren't tough nuts and a little unscrupulous. I'm not defending their morality.
Without their issues.
Yeah, they got their issues. Thank you, Jeffrey. They're like a naughty little kid.
Yeah, they're secret spies.
But I'll tell you, they're one tough state. You don't want to mess with them. But how has this hatred developed? Hatred against the church. The hatred against the Bible. What has happened to America? For those that have been through the master's class or their bachelor class with me, I had them read several books on the American educational system prior to the turn of the 20th century. Listen, I doubt if many college students could pass the high school exam that the kids received
Amen.
Prior to the turn of the 1900s.
Amen.
They were smart cookies. They weren't dumb hick farmers. Mm. My grandfather is the only one of a family of many tellers that graduated from the University of Minnesota. But anyway, what has happened? What was the lead into this nation? And I have my theories. I'm sure Dr. Erner will have his. But bear with my theories. And I think I have a sound foundation. First of all, let's understand, how does Satan slip in? The Bible tells us, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart thereof, from the path thereof. So, if you want to change a nation, what do you have to change?
The children
and the education that they're receiving. So, the educational system has been a vehicle in which evil has crept into this nation. Now, Sharon and I, pastor, and I'm not going to lay this on Jeffrey, still a young man, are the children of the 60s. It seems around 1955 to present day, the 60s kicked it off. The music changed. There was free love. There was a lot of political upheaval. The time of the Vietnam War. The new president, John F. Kennedy. And we saw nothing but upheaval and protests and protests. We've seen more radicals on the campuses. The SDS, Students for a Democratic Society. Today, we see BLM. We see Antifa. And yes, there are still remnants of the Weather Underground. And these were fostered during the 60s. The music changed. And what started to go on in the colleges? Listen. The educational system started emphasizing the soft sciences, such as political science, social sciences. I had a friend of mine I was in seminary with that taught Chicano studies, women's studies. You'd be surprised of all these courses that have come out in the soft sciences. Philosophy. I admit, I took philosophy in college. I was pretty good at it. But I found out there was a lot of corruption, too. Now, I don't want to offend anybody. Let's talk about psychology. Psychology is another entrance of evil into the minds of people. They try to explain human behavior by human behavior in studies instead of seeing it from God's perspective. And many people that, and I'm not knocking psychology, but I am saying I took it. And I've seen enough Pavlov's dog that I've had it up to here. And I have never seen any rich psychologists, unless they make it into academics. The soft sciences, such as educational sciences, journalism. The enemy is getting to our kids through these mandatory classes, unless you watch. Now listen, all these can be very good, but what happens when they're in the hands of evil and those that deny the existence of God? What do they breed into the kids, into the students? It's tough. And we wonder why we're where we are today. The colleges and universities, many people don't know some of our major universities. The one that I love is Notre Dame. Great theological institution built on great principles. And they kicked out E. Michael Jones, a very conservative professor. And it's very liberal and more secular than most secular universities. I hate to say this, but Harvard Law. I've talked to the law professors. And I'm telling you, they're atheistic. They interpret the law many times, and I know it's a philosophy, and I'm not jumping down a lawyer's throat, but there's two interpretations. They interpret the breathing constitution. All they do is get lightheaded. Or those that are strict constitutionalists. Now, there's some nuance there that I am not qualified to go into. There's people that interpret the Bible as a breathing document, too. Well, homosexuality, if you love each other, it's okay. They start breathing and making amends for their behavior. What has happened to some of the Methodist church and some of the other strong fundamental churches? What about the Ivy League colleges? Many of the Ivy League colleges, you may not know this, were seminaries, were founded as seminaries from the very beginning, where they taught people the Word of God. It was built on the Bible. But look at where it's gone today. The Ivy League colleges. We have Cambridge. Some of you may have the Cambridge Bible. Dallas Theological. Marymount, Loyola, and I can start going down the line, and you will see that many of these professors are very liberal, God-denying, or they have watered down the gospel to such a degree that they become syncretistic. So, in the days to come ahead, as I start teaching, we're not only going to address the fig tree, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other pulse of the earth. But we're going to start seeing what we've got to watch out for and what are the coming events that is going to usher in Jesus coming through the clouds and standing on the Mount of Olives, and it will split. That's why I started off in the last verse or two of the book of Revelation. That's why I went to the fig tree in Matthew 24 and Zechariah 14:4. So tonight, let's understand how good God is. Israel should not exist. With the persecution that the church has faced for many centuries, more so now than you would imagine, the church is prospering. And we are at the cusp of the second coming of the Lord Jesus. So I say to you all, Maranatha. Say Maranatha.
Maranatha.
Now, may the blessings of Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, be upon each and every one of you. May His face shine upon you and be gracious to you and grant you peace. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Yes, Pastor.
I'd like to make two comments. One thing, when my children were probably teenage, young and teenagers, the Lord spoke to me and He said, I'm going to hold my people accountable for what is being taught to them. Besides our homeschooling. And I will say, I do want to make another comment. My grandson here, and he can witness to me. You can give me a high five there. He and I have been discussing some things. He's telling me some things that are going on in the schools and being taught in the schools that absolutely made me so shocked today that these things are going on. It's like unbelievable. Christian parents are going to have to wake up. And I think that this whole COVID thing has helped parents wake up to what's being taught to their children. It is unbelievable. It is unconscionable if you're a Christian. It may not be if you don't care. You don't care what your kids learn, that's one thing. But if you want your children not to be indoctrinated in what is evil, you're going to have to examine what they're learning in school.
One thing I might mention